everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. This is part two. Welcome, and thanks for joining me. Whew. So we were just talking about the end of Plenty, The Race to Feed a Crowded World. It's a very intense book. And as I said to the author, we don't agree on everything, but I think many of us can find a lot of common ground so that we can move forward to a better future. But it's just really frustrating because we don't see enough action. So I leave it up to each and every one of you. What are you doing to make this world a better place? Don't all answer at once. I won't be able to hear you. Let me tell you what I've done, okay? I don't know. I got the memo a long time ago when I was a teenager, and I made a choice not to have any children at all. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having children. I love kids. There's a whole bunch of screaming kids right now outside in the park. But I do believe in stabilizing the population rather than growing the population. I think it'll be a lot easier on all of us if we limited how many children we had. And, you know, this goes throughout the world. But there's a lot of cultural things that go against that. Many cultures think it's important to have a lot of children. And that's just a piece of the problem. The other things is I don't own a car. I chose to live in an area where there's a lot of excellent public transportation. And the other thing is I'm a vegan. And whether or not you want to be a vegan or vegetarian, it is essential that everyone on this planet eat plants. Eat plant-based, primarily plant-based. You know, Joel Bourne said it himself, and where if everyone went vegan or vegetarian, we wouldn't have this problem. And yet that's the big elephant in the room. That's the whale in the room. Nobody wants to come out and just say that. And, you know, we were able to get to the moon because we all focused together and we all worked together in our own little ways. We all need to work together on this. And but people just don't want to look past their next meal to make things a better place. And it just, I just don't understand it. And if you can enlighten me a little bit, you know, if I'm sounding smug to you right now, let me know. Let me know how you feel about this. But I continue to eat incredibly delicious foods. I post them all the time in my blog, What Vegans Eat. We buy primarily organic. And it's not that expensive, but it is a priority over so many other different things that people may find important in the land of consumerism. Yeah, so what are you doing? I want to know. I want to know because I want to be inspired, okay? Write me at info@realmeals.org and inspire me. I mentioned before we were in California for the week, and we just got back a couple of nights ago. And it's always fun to stop into the favorite eateries and see what's new, enjoy what's old. And I always tend to eat a little less clean, can I call it that? Because I'm traveling, it's fun, and I don't usually have access to a kitchen where I can buy food and make my own stuff. All right, so we went to one particular restaurant I wanted to mention in San Francisco called Seed and Salt. And you can go to my What Vegans Eat blog and read a little bit about it. It was yesterday's post. It's a groovy little place, a lot of young people. I didn't realize when we went that it was counter service. So you go up and you order and then you bring it to one of these little community tables. We thought when we were heading over there that it would be like a sit-down place. But that's fine. They are very committed to whole food, plant-based food, organic food. And when I made my post yesterday, the owner commented back on my post because she thought I was unfairly negative. I didn't think I was really negative. I was just making a few observations that I wasn't particularly happy about. One of the things that she did mention was the choice to use greenware. I'm not sure if you're familiar with greenware, but I wanted to talk a little bit about it right now. You know I don't like plastic, right? I complain about plastic all the time. And when I go out to a cafe or even a place like Pete's or Starbucks, I prefer to have my tea in a teacup, brewed in a teapot. Call me old-fashioned, whatever. I don't like plastic. It's wasteful. It takes up a lot of energy and resources. And my tea just doesn't taste as good. I like drinking out of a cup. But that's our convenient society, and we like to have everything on the go, and we don't like to sit down and take a moment and really enjoy the moment for what it is. So they've come up with something called greenware, and instead of making plastic from petroleum, which is a very limited resource, very unfriendly, they make their cups out of a renewable plastic from plants. And it's something called PLA, or polylactic acid. They call it a versatile polymer called Ingeo. It's a trademarked bipolymer by NatureWorks. And they make their cups out of this. And I had ordered this really nutritiously intense smoothie at Seed and Salt. And it came in one of these greenware cups. And it cost $14. It was expensive. It was made with a lot of excellent plant-based organic foods. But I would have preferred it in a tall glass instead of this plastic cup. Now, it was plant-based plastic, not petroleum-based plastic. Can you say those things three times fast? Plant-based plastic, petroleum-based plastic. Anyway. So I started reading about greenware, and the owner mentioned that they chose to use greenware because they're in California, which is experiencing a drought, and they thought that this was a better environmental choice because they wouldn't have to wash dishes with that precious resource of water. And that made me think, I wonder if anybody's done the comparison and which is truly better, using plant-based plastic like greenware, or buying ceramic porcelain dishes and glass and washing them. And I wrote to NatureWorks yesterday, and I'm anxious to see if they write me back. I asked if they've done a comparison, because what you need to do is figure out per cup or per glass what's involved to manufacture them. So it may be cheaper to manufacture a plant-based cup in terms of resources and energy and water used to make it than to make a glass or a ceramic plate. And I'm not even sure of that, but I'm just assuming it is cheaper to make the greenware. But then you have to consider the variable cost over time, the life cycle of the reusable dish or the reusable cup, and the cost of the water to wash it, and then incorporate that lifetime of that cup or plate, the cost of the water to keep it clean, and the energy it took to make it, and compare that with a number of greenware cups that you would have to buy to equal the same amount of uses for that glass or that plate. Now, you could use that glass, I don't know, hundreds, thousands, how many times, how many years would that glass last? And then compare the cost of how many throwaway cups that would come to. And I haven't done it, the math. I've seen it done with petroleum-based plastic, and the reusable glass and plates always come out ahead economically and environmentally. And I'm assuming that it's probably the same with greenware. Now, I guess I'm glad that greenware exists. It's a better option than petroleum-based plastic. But here is another item that is using plants, and we briefly covered some of the competition to growing plants for food. Of course, there's growing plants for food to feed animals to feed people rather than growing plants to feed people directly. And then there's growing plants for biofuels. And then there's growing plants for plastics. And this company that makes the Greenware cups, they say that they don't detract from the world's food supply. They actually use what they call number two yellow dent field corn, and they use less than 0.5% of the U.S. corn crop to make this product, this PLA. So it's just an interesting thing to think about, and if you have any answers, I certainly would like to know. And if I hear back from this company, if they've done a financial comparison, I'll let you know about it. I thought it was pretty interesting. Now, back to food. So before we left for California, we had gotten an order from Go Organic New York City. I think I mentioned it on my last show 2 weeks ago because I missed the show last week. And I was very excited because we got this giant mountain of kale. And I had already made my juices for the week. So I was all set with green juices for the week in the freezer. Yes, I freeze my green juices. It saves on having to wash the juicer every day. And I have been convinced by people I trust and respect that it is nutritionally fine to do so. So we had so much kale that we started making these, what I call super green power smoothies. Now, I've made smoothies before, but these, how do I describe them? Sludge. Sludge is a good word. So what I did was I took a bunch of kale and I weighed it. It was around 14 ounces, close to 1 pound, okay? And I slowly blended it in a Vitamix with 1 cup of water. And I made this thick green stuff. And then I added all kinds of wonderful ingredients to it. Bananas, pear, oranges, frozen blueberries, dates, flax seeds, a little maca powder, cocoa powder, and some sesame tahini and ice cubes. And it made 56 ounces. So we shared it, Gary and I, and that meant we each got 28 ounces. Now, I remember reading an article. Have you read it by Dr. Greger recently? He was kind of talking about the advantages and disadvantages of green smoothies. And frankly, I'm not buying into the negativity behind green smoothies. I love them. I think they're fabulous. And this particular smoothie was extra fabulous because Dr. Greger mentioned that you need to sip these smoothies slowly. That's one of the problems where people tend to consume them very quickly. And they don't digest as well. They don't leave you as sated. You may go for some more food afterwards, whatever. The key is to consume these things slowly. And the thing about this particular smoothie, my super green power smoothie, you cannot possibly eat it quickly. This takes like 40 minutes to consume. Not only is 28 ounces a lot, but it's sludge. It's good sludge. It's tasty sludge, but it's thick. And I find that I have to take a small sips, let it move through, and enjoy it. It was really very good. And I haven't had maca powder in a while, and it was interesting to incorporate it in the smoothies and back in our diet. And I didn't do that all last week while in California, but I want to get back to it because we really experienced some good stuff while we were having these smoothies. So I think I made them 4 times in that week before going off to California, and it made a huge difference in my energy levels and feeling. I always feel good. Can you imagine feeling good and then feeling better than good? Yeah. Well, the real test was leaving for California last week. The way I always do it, no matter how hard I try, is if I have an early flight in the morning, I tend not to sleep very long the night before. Just there are so many things to do and get ready that I usually get 3 hours or so. Well, before going to sleep the night of the flight the next day, I made one of these super green power smoothies. Actually, I made two. And we had them before going to bed. And what a difference it made waking up 3 hours later and getting on the airplane. I didn't have that horrible sleep-deprived dragging feeling. Now, I don't recommend going without sleep ever, ever. Sleep is so important, but sometimes it happens. And it's amazing what high nutrients can do to keep you feeling good. So I definitely recommend checking this thing out. Now, for a long time, I went without a high-powered blender, and you could probably make something like this in a regular blender. It'll just take more time, more prepping to cut things in smaller pieces, and possibly a little more liquid. So you'd have more volume. It won't be as sludgy, but it'll be really, really good for you. Another few things I just wanted to mention really quickly. We just have a few more minutes left. My last guest 2 weeks ago was James Aspie. Remember him? He didn't speak for 365 days in order to protest what was going on with animals. He took a vow of silence to raise awareness for animals and promote peace over violence. Well, wow, it was timely because he was just named by the website vegansarecool.com as Vegan of the Year for 2015. So congratulations, James Aspie. And if you haven't listened to that interview, check it out at responsibleeatingandliving.com. And then another thing I wanted to mention, a lot of people are promoting this webinar that just started today by psychiatrist Dr. Susan Thompson. Have you heard about her? She is putting together a 5-part webinar in addition to 4 videos that she's put out. It's all free. I think it's one of those deals that at the end of the free viewing, you can purchase the whole package. And I have a link to the quiz that you can take for her program on the website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. It's on the front homepage, and you can watch some of the free food freedom videos that she has put together. And this is primarily targeted to people who really are challenged with losing weight. She herself had been overweight for a very long time, and then she, through her psychology training, there we go, she figured out what was going on in her brain that caused the addiction and the difficulty, and she figured out the way to overcome it. And so there's a susceptibility quiz where you can find out if you're one of these kinds of people that has a bigger problem breaking the addiction to food, and then she has some solutions for it. And you may remember, but I interviewed her last year, and you're welcome to listen to that interview as well if you're interested in this particular area of psychology, which has to do with diet, psychology, and brain science of sustainable weight loss. Yeah, it's very interesting stuff. Well, wow, are we at the end of another program? I can't believe it. I love talking about food, and I'm glad that you're listening and interested. And remember, we all need to do our part. And this book that we just talked about earlier, The End of Plenty, The Race to Feed a Crowded World, it's not a race yet. We need a race. We need a tremendous change in our food system and in our culture. And it starts right here, right now, with you. Okay? Sounds good. So send me an email at info@realmeals.org, and I'll be back next week. Have a delicious week.